Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First though, Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure, National Development Plan Delivery and Reform, and Fine Gael TD for Dublin Central is here with me in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
A monumental week, and it has only been a week because it's a week to the day since we heard the news about Leo Varadkar. You must feel, like operating at your level in Cabinet, that the whole world has been upended.
To a degree, yes. When the Taoiseach of the day decides to leave office, that's a huge event politically and one that I have full respect for. But on the other hand, since that happened, the public service wage union, the public service unions have accepted a new wage agreement from the government. And then yesterday morning, I concluded a very long process in relation to the future of how we spend additional money on schools and hospitals in our country. And I allocated out a further €2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, on one hand, there's been very significant political change. But on the other hand, the work of government continues. That's what I'm here to do. And the work of the government will continue with the three parties in it, led by a new Taoiseach in 2 weeks' time. And I wish Leo every happiness in the next phase of his life.
And you have said many times that it wasn't your ambition to lead the party, but many people would have thought that that was you being loyal. You know, that's a trait that people admire in a senior politician, and that really when the opportunity came along, that maybe you might decide to do it. I mean, a cabinet minister who doesn't want to lead the country when the opportunity arises might seem a little strange to people.
I don't see why it should. There's two qualities I'd make the case for in this argument. Firstly, I am extremely loyal. I'm extremely loyal not just to the person, but also to the office of the Taoiseach. And secondly, this question has been put to me repeatedly over the years, and I have always given an answer which for me at each point was the truth. I've always been motivated by what I can achieve for the country, for public life. I'm a public servant. I'm more motivated by what I can achieve than what I can be. And in that period, I've led our country back to its public finances, back to surplus twice. I've led our country's economy during the pandemic. I've grappled and led our way through issues such as corporate tax and Brexit, not to mention the issues of today. Been doing the right thing in those situations, making the case for stability, making the case for public finances and their value really mattering to ordinary people is what has motivated me and continues to.
Oh, but did you think about it last week?
I think anybody who's human will always consider when a big moment happens what they what should they do. But I ended up exactly where I begun. For many years, this question has been put to me, as I said. I've answered the question at each point in time saying it's not an ambition. And it wasn't an ambition
last
week.
But you did consider it. Was it that Simon Harris had the jump on you with the numbers?
None of that was material in my thinking. What was material in my thinking is what's the right thing for me as a person and for my family? What's the right thing for me for the years to come? And sitting alongside that then is if what's the right thing for me then, what is the right thing for the country? And as I have said, we are extremely fortunate now to have elected the leader of the qualities of Simon. He'll make his own decisions in the coming days and weeks. But it's about what I can do rather than what I can be is what politics for me is about.
We have heard that what he wants from his cabinet is a commitment that they're going to run again in the next election. Do you think that's fair?
That's a matter for him. I've had, again, it's a question that has been put to me on many different occasions.
Has he asked you about that?
So that hasn't developed or occurred yet. I mean, he's been busy with other matters. I'm not going to on air make his job even more difficult than it otherwise will be. But I've also answered that question in the past in saying that my plan and my intention is to run in the election.
That's your plan at the moment?
More than my plan, it's my intention. It's what I want to do.
Because it was just interesting in Athlone last weekend, Michael Ring delivered what many saw as a political eulogy for Simon Coveney. You know, there were so many people sitting there listening to that from Fine Gael who I'm sure were a bit taken aback by that. And he has said that he is running in the next general election. What was going on there? What was Michael Ring at?
Well, Michael Ring is one of the greatest friends I have in politics. He's a remarkable man. And you know who the best man to ask that question to is? It's to Michael Ring.
I bet you asked him.
I did not. Knowing the man as I do and thinking the world of him, what do I think was happening? I think Michael Ring, who is one of the outstanding figures in Fine Gael and a great man, was standing up conscious of all of the speculation that was being directed towards another wonderful man in Simon Coveney, and making the case for the brilliant job that he has done and for the work that Simon was doing as leader of the European Parliamentary Campaign for Fine Gael.
At the end of the day, Claire,
just to briefly say, we're all human. We're all humans who work with each other. Mm-hmm. And if anybody has a grasp of that, it's Michael Ring.
Okay, well,
we're not in the business of eulogies at the moment.
Right, well, Michael Ring stood aside when Leo Varadkar said he wanted the next generation to lead Fine Gael. Maybe that's what Michael Ring was doing, giving a gentle hint to those who are there now at a senior level.
Michael Ring doesn't step aside from much. What Michael was doing was giving a magnificent speech, a typical performance of the ringer in front of us all, about Maria Walsh, who he was endorsing, talking about Nina Carberry and making the case for this party being alive and well. Michael Ring gives many kinds of speeches, but eulogies are not part of them. So, it was not low-key, it was not lacking in passion, and it was rich in optimism.
And you don't get the impression that that might be what is afoot here when you consider what Simon Harris is doing, that it is time now for a new generation.
Well, this is why I go back to what I said earlier on. It is up to Simon to make his own decisions and to decide what that generation is going to be and what that team will be. Claire, if I just look at the last few days, some of the biggest issues that I said I would bring to conclusion in 2024, the future of capital spending within our country, a public service pay agreement, they have been delivered. Mm-hmm. I've completed over 30 negotiations with my ministerial colleagues in the last few weeks. That's the stuff and the output that come from that that I hope has value to our country, rather than whether a particular speech is a eulogy or not.
Can I ask you if you're honestly looking forward to this next phase?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As I do all of this work, am I more aware of the challenges the country could face? The answer to that question is yes. I've had the great privilege now of being president of the Eurogroup for a number of years and presenting 8 budgets to the country. And while I have a great sense of the opportunities that are awaiting our country, and I've never been more optimistic, running alongside that is a deep sense of the challenges and uncertainty we could yet move into. And I am full of conviction for the need for honesty about that and optimism about our ability to get our way through it.
And the next election now, all signs seem to be pointing to March of next year, but that's when ministers will be off on their St. Patrick's Day duties. I mean, surely you'd want the leader of your party not over in the White House, but wearing out the shoe leather.
Well, Claire, with the greatest of respect, I'm just back from this year's St. Patrick's Day. And for us to be talking about where we're all going to be, if we're going to be anywhere in St. Patrick's Day 2025, I think is a discussion for another day.
Do you expect the new Taoiseach will be in the autumn?
The new Taoiseach has to be elected first, has to appoint his cabinet, has to continue a close relationship with the two other party leaders. That's the first business to do. I expect the government will serve out its full mandate, and where we're going to be at the state of our footwear for St. Patrick's Day is all a matter of another day, Claire.
Simon Harris has said, hasn't he, that he wants to run until March of next year.
Yep.
Right call?
Whatever the Taoiseach decides in that context, of course, will be the right decision. But having been involved in these decisions myself, they are very fine, very marginal calls that are not on the mind of the public at the moment.
Okay.
What the public want to know is, will more homes be built? Will this country be safe? Can we deal with the great challenges in relation to migration? When the election is going to be called really is not, I think, uppermost in their minds.
Now, we had Mairead McGuinness in here during the week, and once again, she has made it very clear and be very honest about it. She'd like another go at being Ireland's EU commissioner. Micheál Martin has said very clearly, that's my call. That's Fianna Fáil's call. So what should happen? I mean, she's not going to get another go at it, is she? Because that's the deal, is that it's Fianna Fáil's gig.
Oh my God, Claire, from going from Michael Ring's future to Simon Harris's future to Mairead McGuinness's future is quite a tour de table of what's going to happen.
Well,
to
this is because we know that you know what's going on in all of these matters.
I know some of what's going on. But honestly, what I would contend to you is two things. Firstly, that would be the job of the Taoiseach to work out with the Tánaiste. I leave it to them. They will come up with the best and with the wise decision. And like, are your listeners at home at the moment really thinking about what the next job is for Mairead McGuinness? A very small number of them maybe, but I think it's very small.
Well,
instead,
our EU commissioner is a very important role. And also the relationship between partners in government is very important. Fianna Fáil have a very simple answer to this, and Micheál Martin has said it. That is my decision. That's not what Fine Gael are saying.
And there are few people who know the value of what the EU commissioner role is better than me as president of the Eurogroup. And equally, what Simon Harris has said, as indeed the current Taoiseach has said, is all of these matters will be worked out in a cooperative and in a compromised way, and a way of compromise. Fine Gael has held the commissionership of the European Union now over a number of years. And I'm sure there is an agreement in relation to party leaders how that matter will be dealt with. They'll deal with it in private. The matter will be concluded. And it will not cause any challenge within the government.
Yeah, it's just Micheál Martin says it's decided, you know, that it is his job to decide who it is. But anyway, listen, we'll move on because you've mentioned the National Development Plan, this extra money that you announced yesterday, over 2 billion. And you were asked yesterday whether this had to do with the timing of an election. You denied that.
It has nothing to
you
do with the timing of an election.
But it is a reasonable question because you tell us so often that every penny is counted and accounted for, and yet this money appears to deal with inflation.
I never said it was an unreasonable question. I just answered it. It doesn't have anything to do with the timing of the election. What it has more to do with actually is the premise in the second half of your question, which you're correct about. We've had soaring inflation now over the last 2 years. There's real signs that that's beginning to come down now. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to ensure the commitments the government has made in relation to building homes, building schools, student accommodation, in relation to the future of sport here in Ireland, that we can honour and preserve those commitments. And secondly, in a small number of cases, a number of ministers now will have the ability to go ahead with a few new commitments during the year. Mm-hmm. That's what the process was designed to do, and it has done.
My question is that voters might see that you're pulling over 2 billion out of the hat. And where does it come from and why?
Well, for those who would have that concern, the answer to that question is it was announced on Budget Day. There's no hat here. This is all part of our budget arithmetic. On Budget Day, I announced, along with the Minister for Finance, Minister McGrath, there'll be an additional 2.25 billion allocated for this year and in 2025 and 2026. It was a Budget Day announcement. It's now been implemented. I said we'd get it done early in the year. We've got it done before Easter. Mm-hmm. That is all there is to it. Overall, when I started off doing this kind of work in 2017, we had capital investment in our economy of 4.5 billion euro. By the end of this process, it will be more than 14 billion euro. We've been able to put in place this kind of an increase because our public finances are safe, they're stable, we're running a surplus. Because of that, we can make these changes. It will lead to more homes being built. It will lead to better schools and will play a part in dealing with all of the issues within our society that your listeners are rightly concerned about.
Excise duty, and you'll have heard me saying at the start that Piers Doherty is coming on a little bit later on, and he wants you not to do that, not to restore excise duty again on Monday. So it'll be an extra 4 cents a litre, won't it, on petrol?
That is correct.
I was driving past a petrol station this morning, 177, so you'd be up over 180. Why are you doing that now?
Well, firstly, sure, Sinn Féin will probably change their mind on this by the end of the week anyhow, given they appear to be changing their mind on everything that they've claimed is important to their party. The reason why we are doing this is that when we, and it was myself actually, who brought in the excise reductions there over a year ago, the price of fuel was at that point well in excess of €2 per litre, and even at points well in excess of €2.20. And even though the price of fuel is higher than we would want it to be, it is far, far lower than when we brought in these initial changes. And the truth of it is that if we were not to go ahead with the excise increase that's going up, then we would have to change plans elsewhere.
Father Tobin said this morning you're bringing in more than ever in excise duty. He mentioned a figure of 3.8 billion.
But that's because every other tax has gone up in value as well. You can make that point about every single tax that we're collecting in Ireland. Mm. Why are we collecting more excise? It's because our economy is bigger than it ever has been before.
Your answer to motorists is we need the money.
It's a bit more than that, actually. It's about the need of about honesty and acknowledging that these are complex issues. And I accept that it creates cost for those at a time in which inflation is still there. I accept all of that. But the truth of it is that we spent over a billion, we spent hundreds of millions of euro taking down excise when fuel was well above €2 a litre. And you could sit down here with me, Claire, and go through a whole variety of different issues, the answer to which, in the eyes of Sinn Féin and the opposition, is just to spend more money to make an easy decision. But the problem with all of that is if you put all of that in the round end, it ends up with figures that we ultimately can't afford. And it means that we can't do other things the country would want us to do. Mm-hmm. And as I said, Sinn Féin know the Dáil is in recess. They will probably again change their mind about this, just as they have with the hate speech legislation.
I'm sure Piers Doherty will tell us that they're not changing their mind on this one. And they have been pretty consistent on excise since the restoration began to happen. But he'll answer for himself a little bit later on.
Look at the Sinn Féin track record over the number of years in which Piers Doherty has been finance spokesperson. At every point in the last number of years, the Sinn Féin answer has been spend the surplus, borrow more. But, you know, if we had done all of that, we wouldn't have been able to get our way through the pandemic like we did. And we wouldn't be one of the few countries that spent billions getting through the pandemic and has avoided the need for austerity and has avoided the need for borrowing.
OK, well, I will put those points to Piers Doherty when he's here
later on.
Motorists, just sticking with that point, Eamon Ryan at Cabinet yesterday came with this suite of measures now to deal with climate change. And these will go to the local authorities and they can choose from them. But congestion charges on the agenda, coming from Dublin Central as you do, do you think that's a good idea?
I certainly have no plans to bring in congestion charging. Congestion charging tends to be a tax actually that affects those who are outside of our main cities and travelling into them, are those who are moving from the kind of perimeter of a city into its city centre. What was outlined yesterday were options in relation to how we can deal with congestion and its impact on our health. I welcome the fact that it will be led by local authorities. These things are best done at the local level. And it also recognises that for the foreseeable future, cars will continue to be the dominant form of transport for most commuters.
So the congestion charge is not happening
as far as you're concerned. Ask me a question. Do I have a plan to bring it in? And the answer to that question is I don't have such a plan at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm more than willing to hear what local authorities have to say on the issue. But to my mind, we have to build a metro and have the metro up and running. We have to have bus connects and we have to have light rail systems in place across more cities than Dublin before we can get to a point of fundamental change like that. I'm up for the debate. I'm up for looking at it. But at the moment, that scale of public transport is coming, but it's not there.
15 or 20 years away then. For a congestion charge.
We'll have the metro up and running a long time before then. We'll have bus connects in place a long time before then. Mm. And
But you're saying we'll be making those decisions well before
two decades away.
You'd need a Lewis in Cork before you could have a congestion charge in Cork.
Well, I wasn't getting into naming any cities. I was making the case here very broadly.
Well, Eamon Ryan did this morning when he talked about other cities planning metro lines.
I think I'm making an understandable and fair point here. That we need to be moving very large public transport projects into them actually happening before we put in place very fundamental changes in relation to the use of the car. Like, look at what we've done. We've changed our motor tax system fundamentally to create more incentives for people to buy and use cars that have less of an effect on our economy and less of an effect on our environment. We've completely changed the taxation of fuel by bringing in carbon taxes and made the case for doing something like that, even at a point of soaring inflation. We've made profound changes, and Eamon Ryan and the Green Party have been at the heart of this as well, in very, very difficult areas regarding fuel and private transport. And I think it's reasonable to say that before we get into fundamental change regarding the use of the car, as opposed to just the use of fuel, there are some building blocks that need to be in place that we're trying to deliver at the moment.
OK, Minister, we'll leave it there.
Thank you, Claire.
Very much for coming in. Minister Pascal Donoghue will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.